Your voice always sounds weird, and you know, and you're, that sounds good. And you're a singer, but to me, it sounds great.
Thanks very much.
Your speaking voice, you mean?
Yeah, my speaking voice is different, and to whom it may concern, I'm really quiet.
Oh yeah.
To whom it may concern.
I think we're all concerned.
In the audio.
Yeah.
Side of things here.
This is going to be a very sensual podcast. I think we're just going to like be whispering to each other.
Great. What was that like SNL craft ladies who would just talk like this about like?
Probably. I don't. I don't watch comedy. I hate comedy. I hate laughter.
It can't be true.
I do like laughing, but I don't like watching comedy because I'm in the business. Mm. I'm bored of it. Although I'm out of the business now. Now I'm a songwriter just recently.
Cool.
I guess I've always been. That's what this podcast is about. I've been writing songs since, well, I mean, even when I was like 5 or 6 walking down the street, I'd sing songs to myself, you know. But I never thought, hey, I could make this a song that actually I could record at some point.
Yeah.
When did you start? Did you start that early?
I had a similar experience where I grew up playing music and making little like melodies and stuff, but not finishing complete ideas.
Yeah.
I never had that anyone say like, hey, why don't you write a bridge and a
right.
make this thing done?
Actually, yeah, exactly.
Till I was like 18 or 19 maybe.
Yeah, and you, I saw a little bit against my will because I don't like to research, but I saw that you've actually gone to like music school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like you graduated in like something like studio recording or something like that?
Yeah, it's called studio composition.
Studio composition. What does that mean exactly?
So, I mean, that's what it was, you know, that's the label, but it was basically just writing and arranging in a... in recording in a studio setting or in a commercial setting. So it's composition and instrumentation and music theory, but it's also like film scoring and those kinds of things.
Wow. Yeah. And was that a great experience?
Yeah, it was cool. It's probably the only way I could have gotten a bachelor's degree.
Why do you want one?
I know. Well, you know, at that time.
You thought it was important.
We thought it was important, but I just mean helpful? I couldn't have possibly... done a real college thing.
Sorry, what did you say?
Yeah, have you found that's
church? Useful? Church, you're a professional.
My
you know you got to get in behind a mic here.
I'm shooting
the actual. the degree, no, is of no use to me.
Right.
In fact, one time I tried to get a job at the Lego store at the mall, and this teenager interviewed me and was like, "Why do you want this job? You have a college degree." And I was like.
Yeah, college degrees backfire on your ass.
Where did you go to school?
New Paltz and Purchase are both New York State schools.
Huh. So, you've always kind of written in your head, and then you went to the school. Was there a middle ground where you actually tried writing songs before you went to and took classes?
Well, I actually was when I was growing up, I was more involved in classical music. I played the upright bass in orchestras.
Yeah.
And that was more my focus. And then I got into jazz. And so when I went to school, it was actually for jazz theory and jazz studies. And then in jazz school is when I started writing music, and what was coming out was absolutely not jazz. And then I just kind of OD'd on jazz and was like, I don't want to hear a blue note for 10 years. And that's where I went. That's when I dove into writing whatever was coming out, and I left the jazz world and went more into that stuff.
Cool, and that was like what age?
Around 19, yeah.
19, yeah. Yeah. And do you remember like the first song you wrote that you felt like was a piece unto itself?
God, it was called A Love Song.
A Love Song?
And it's a nightmare. I hope it never surfaces.
Oh, I hope you play it.
Play it now. Play it now.
I'll give you $20. I have $20 in my wallet.
It's so
I swear
high.
To God, I do. I have $20. That's all I have. But I'll give you, and a receipt. I'll give you $20 if you play it right now.
I'll try. Okay.
She wants that 20 so bad.
It's so high. I remember it being really high. It was on the piano, so it might
but
be.
But you have a high voice.
Right, but. It's okay. I mean, I'll transpose it.
No, everyone knows you're pulling this out of my ass.
This is an insane way to start the podcast.
Yeah.
Can I play this later?
Yeah, you could. I don't want to make you do anything. It's just if
anybody actually takes time to listen to this, and they're going to be like, oh, God, I'm out.
No, you don't even have to play it. I'm just saying I'll give you $20. I mean, if you like that idea.
I need $20 right now, so I'll do it later.
Okay, good, good. I like having that kind of control.
You should do this every time.
You can actually manipulate this entire podcast.
I know. I got to bring more money. Because, you know, maybe we'll get Nick Cave in here. I got to go to the cash machine. Okay, you wrote that song and you said it was a nightmare. It was a nightmare because...
Now, in hindsight,
The theme, the words?
No, because I came from this world of, like, show tunes and jazz. And Mariah Carey was, like, one of my idols growing up. Yeah. And there was just a lot of blues riffing and just... Bad taste, bad form.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But as you know, as my experimenting as a kid, and then you kind of reel it in.
I bet.
At some point.
I bet. And I'm not doing this to make you play it later, but you're going to have a rendition that it's going to be
better.
It's going to be really cool.
You're going to discover on this podcast how much you really love that song.
Yeah. Or how much we love it anyway.
Well,
yeah.
Well, I will see how far I can even
really,
get with it.
I'm really building it up.
I haven't thought of it in a very long time.
It's going to be amazing. I can't wait.
I'm so excited. Encore! Wait, it hasn't happened yet.
There's two... I've been reading a lot about songwriters.
Cool.
Because I'm obsessed with it. And there seems to be two schools. One is the first thing that comes out is amazing and very little editing involved. And, you know, you're going to tweak it a little bit. And then there's some schools like Leonard Cohen who says it's a daze. It's not – it's a work – it's hard work. It's like going in coal mining. You know,
I was thinking of him before you said his name. I'm like, he said he would work for years.
Years?
Yeah.
Years.
I work for years on each song.
You do?
Yeah. Wow. I very rarely finish a song in like a small period of time. I can do it if pressed to do it.
Yeah.
Often. Like if I have a deadline, I do it, which makes me feel like I'm doing things wrong.
Right. Because when you listen to it, you're like, hey, this is about as good as the one that I wrote for a year.
But it's basically, it's not because I either... sometimes ideas need to marinate for however long, or it takes 2 years till you're like become the person that has the information to write the thing. But I forgot what I was going to say, so I'm just going to jump off before I finish.
Well, no, but that brings up something interesting. When you're younger, you're just kind of writing, and sometimes you just throw it out there and you record it, and then you listen back when you're older. And because I know I've done this. Where I've written songs and I'm like, well, that's not about enough. You know, 20-year-old me didn't write that well. So I'll take it and rewrite it.
Hmm.
So in some ways, it took 20 years to write that song.
Yeah.
But now I feel like now that I'm older, and you're nowhere near as old as me, but I feel like I could write songs swifter now because I have a lot of life experience. And I was, you know, I mean, it took me a while. I mean, I'm a slow learner. I'm a late bloomer, you know, like, you know, the Beatles and a lot. Dylan wrote amazing stuff when they were younger, you know. I'm just rambling.
Yeah.
But you could comment any way you want on any of that.
It's funny, it's a podcast, but my tendency is to just keep my mouth shut and just listen to everybody around me. So I'm like trying to talk.
Well, I heard Church Inhale, so I think she's got a lot of stuff to say here.
No, I was just going to say that I can really relate to laboring over something forever and it never seeming to be really finished to my satisfaction unless I'm put on somebody else's timeline.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know – for me, the timeline is usually determined by someone else's project that I'm working on too. So I can't tell if it's the idea of a deadline or if it's because I'm serving somebody else's creative vision that makes it easier for me to write quickly and let it go. Because when I'm on a deadline, it's usually for a movie or I'm guesting on somebody else's record. I don't judge it as much as I do my own work.
Also, guidelines, I think, help. You know, we don't always apply guidelines to our own work.
Right.
But then the idea of someone saying, hey,
someone hands you a box.
Yeah, and get in it.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, all right, well.
Make something in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think with the finish, taking years to finish stuff, I go in seasons where it's like I'll collect little ideas, melodic ideas generally. Sometimes there's a few lyrics attached. I'll collect those, like, either in voice memos or write them out. And then when it's time to finish a record, I'll sit down and go through all those, pick the best ones, and then spend all my time writing them until it's done, which I'll spend a focused 2 months on that. So
on just several works.
Yeah. So it's not so much that everything takes 2 years as much as it's like it was born and then I didn't get to it till a year or two later.
Yeah, it has to naturally gestate in some way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you know when you write a song if this is going to be a song that people like? Like, you're like, yeah, that one's going to be great.
There's been a couple times where that happened.
Yeah. But there's got to be times, you know, I can't tell which of my songs anyone's going to like. You seem to have like a one time in your mind.
Yeah, this song Lazy Jane I wrote, it does tend to be a lot of people's favorite.
Once you wrote it.
And I knew it, yeah. I was like, okay, cool.
So what was that process like from beginning to end, if you could remember it?
I can remember it actually very vividly.
I love this.
It's the whole song is two chords.
Best songs ever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it came because actually a friend of mine was just learning how to play the guitar, and we were jamming on just F and G together.
Best chords ever.
Best friend ever.
Yeah. Best friend, best
totally,
chords.
Totally. And he's like kind of tone deaf and like, but awesome. Oh, awesome.
Best deaf ever.
And we were just singing and I just kind of came up with a couple lines and we're hanging out and I was sort of like, took my phone out and made a couple of voice memos while I was going on. And
yeah, that's voice that memos are great.
Sort of how it came about. And then later when I was alone, I went and I was actually really depressed, so depressed over, which is totally normal for me. But like this particular one, I was like just weeping over my first love who I just will always. And
good song coming out.
And I was just like, just low and just so bummed. And that's completely what the song I just wrote. That one did come out in like a day. I think I took a couple of days to kind of tweak the verses. But there's very few lyrics to the whole thing. It's like very simple, you know. So it's one of the very few that just kind of came out and was like, oh, okay.
That was called what?
Lazy Jane.
Lazy Jane. And where does that title come from?
It actually comes from my mom called me that when I was growing up. Because I was like trying to get, like when I was in bed, she'd be like, all right, Lazy Jane, get up.
Yeah.
And then after I wrote it and did everything, then I found out it's a Shel Silverstein poem I can't remember if it's Light in the Attic or Sidewalk Ends, where the sidewalk ends. It's one of them. And it's like this little girl and she's just laying on the floor and it just says like, lazy, 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 lazy Jane wants a drink of water. So she waits and waits and waits and waits and waits for it to rain. And it's totally the sentiment. It's just like, that's me. This is her. And it's after, it's pretty cool.
And there's a title mean something about like you're lazy in your love life in some way?
No, it's just that because of being so bummed that I don't have this love.
You've become lethargic.
I just got nothing.
Yeah.
Will you play it for us?
I know, that was my next question.
Yeah, I'll play it.
Yay.
But you don't have to, okay, when right we now. Have, whenever
right
we
now.
I'll play it. Might as well play it, right? It's you know, it's not the best solo acoustic. It's more like a But here we go.
I'm never gonna be a cheerleader. I can't do tricks and I ain't that sick. I'll never make it with the other believers. I don't have it, and I'm likely to quit. And today I'm being lazy, Jane. I'm feeling blue, 'cause I can't have you.
Chord you did toward the end in the chorus that was kind of like this.
Blues,
do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, but
yeah. Yeah, I would never think to put that in a song because it sounds a little discordant, but it works.
Yeah, so. I mean, it's just the chord, it's the regular chord. It's just, I guess it's sort of like a little lead guitar bend. I just kind of snuck it in the left hand, you know.
Yeah. Do you always do that with that song?
Yeah.
So in the writing, you put that in there?
It wasn't in the original song, but then...
As you played it.
After I started playing it live, I started messing with it.
Yeah. Because songs do evolve once you start playing it over and over again, you know? I change lyrics all the time and that. So I guess the process kind of never ends. Certainly, like with Bob Dylan, it fucking never ends.
Okay? Yeah.
I won't stop rewriting his goddamn songs. Or Lou Reed, every time he did Sweet Jane, I have several versions of Sweet Jane where it's all different lyrics.
Really? That song's so good.
Oh, yeah. Get the Matrix sessions.
What a chorus.
Yeah. And some of them are dumb, but I like them.
The verses?
Yeah. But in a good way, because he's just feeling it.
Yeah.
You know?
I've never even taken the time to listen to what he's saying. It's like it doesn't matter because the chorus is so... huge.
I know. Well, he said himself, he's like, that riff is just so natural and fun to play that I just like throwing different lyrics in as I'm playing it live.
Cool.
I always just thought I would hear it again and be singing along and hit a part that I didn't know and thought that I just didn't know the song as well as I thought I did. And now maybe it's just a different version where
so many different versions came out.
Realize that.
Well, he was actually, when the first version came out and Unloaded, he was upset because they didn't put the bridge in, the Heavenly Wine and Roses part, because he had already left the band and they put record together without him. And he's like, come on, the Heavenly Wine and Roses part is the best part. And that's the part that the Cowboy Junkies sing in that slow version. You know that version of Sweet Jane? But they sing a real pretty version of it. And they're doing a version that he did live. But on that record, his Heavenly Wine and Roses, he's kind of off key. And I understand why they didn't put it in. Although I like it still that they put it in. But, you know, I mean, Lou Reed's not a great singer.
Yeah.
So,
that's cool.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Did you go from Lazy Jane to Sweet Jane?
Not on purpose.
Not on purpose, yeah.
Cool. Yeah, no, it all happened organically.
Very cool.
Yeah.
That's what I thought, yeah.
but it's great. Like, Jane is a great...
Oh, that's such a good name.
It's a great name for in a song.
Yeah, that's my it's my coffee name. When I order a coffee or to-go food or something and they're like, can I have your name? I say Jane.
Yeah.
Except it doesn't work when you're in your own town.
Because they know you.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they'll be like, I kind of know you. Your name is Jenny. Or it's weird. So I try to not do it when I'm home. But like if I'm on traveling, it's just so much fun. It's just an opportunity to be somebody else.
Yeah. And you're not going too far because it goes from Jenny to Jane. I mean, really, how far are you going?
Right. I mean, you could say anything. I should change it up more, but I just like the name Jane so much.
Jenny's been in songs. 867-5309.
Yeah.
Have you ever tried calling that number?
No.
I bet. I think it's weird to put like a phone number in a song.
It was a crazy move.
Yeah. Because I know in Chicago, those people had to change their number.
Mm-hmm. That's funny.
It's it's now just not an available number anymore, isn't it? I think
probably.
That's how that problem got solved. Is 867-5309 is now no longer
right? Yeah.
On the list of numbers
in
you
every
can get
area code.
Yeah, because of that song.
Wow. I mean, that's good songwriting when you could delete
we can affect,
a number from the world.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, that's true.
Kind of makes me want to like do an address song or something, but that would be worse because people would show up and you know, is Jenny home? I would keep her Jenny. Jenny, I got your address. I know. Sometimes I go on tangents. Because I run out of songwriting questions. I also noticed in that song, because I'm a rhyme addict, which I got to get over. Uh-huh. And you do soft rhymes.
Yeah. I do soft rhymes.
Do you do that consciously or it just kind of happens?
I don't totally think about it.
Yeah.
I guess. Sometimes I'll think about it if I'm looking for a rhyme. Like I know it wants to match. Usually I just, it's about, I guess, soft rhymes because I'm really just thinking about the vowel.
It's about the vowel.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the amount of syllables sometimes.
Yeah, the vowel, mostly that's what dictates my lyrics is like, I know the vowel and the consonants that I need it to fulfill. And often, sometimes it even has consonants. Did I already say that? No. Consonants are like already pre-dictated. So I have to like translate what goes there in that way specifically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes just a hard consonant doesn't have to be the same one.
Mm-hmm.
But the vowels have to, I mean, we shouldn't be dogmatic about this, but it does make it feel better if the vowels are similar, like a short I sound or something like that.
Yeah, again, it totally depends on the thing.
I'm an English teacher now.
How much of your songwriting philosophy do you think came out of music school, if anything? How did that change your writing since you grew up as a musical child?
I would say... not so much except for shining a light on form being like the shape of the song. So whether you're like verse, chorus, bridge, you know, or whatever, knowing that stuff. But then also, honestly, the thing that happened to me that was the most significant in school, which maybe would have come to me a different way, was a teacher that I had. It was like my private songwriting lesson where I like went in the very beginning of this one semester with like this song that I had written that had all these chords in it. It was just like really, it was, you know, it was like 2002 and I was like a Radiohead and like I was just all about like weird chord changes and like cryptic lyrics and it was sort of just about the feel.
That was the year of the chord, 2002.
Yeah, the year of the chord. 2002.
Or around that time, I just picked a year. But it was like, I'd come with this like what I thought was really impressive piece of music. And I was like playing the piano, and I showed him this thing, and he's like, cool, what are you saying there? And I was like, oh, I just, you know, like my lyrics were just kind of like these whatever. Because I listened to Radiohead, and those lyrics kind of make sense, but sometimes you're just like, what? It doesn't matter. It just sounded cool coming out of
Yeah, does it always matter what you're saying? That's a good question.
It doesn't. It depends who you are.
Yeah.
It turns out I have now emerged at this phase in my life as a pretty lyrical songwriter, and mm-hmm. that my words are delivered fairly clearly, except when I'm mumbling, which happens on records. But
the meanings are there if people read
yeah,
them.
But yeah, but probably as a result of this, which is that I showed him this piece, and he was like, cool, what are you saying? Like, what are your lyrics there? And I kind of like told him what I was saying, but I was like, but it's not like about that. Like, for me, it was about the music. And he kind of just called me out and was like, I don't know what you're saying.
But was he open to the idea that it could be just poetic and it doesn't have to mean anything also?
Yeah, probably, but he was definitely calling me. I was bullshitting.
Did he just knew that it wasn't being authentic to you?
I hadn't thought about it ever. I had never been called out or like told, like suggested.
Because if you said to him, I don't know what they mean, it just sounded good, he'd be cool with that, you think?
I don't know. Maybe he would have suggested like good, he would probably would have like steered me in more like, why don't you think about this? Or why don't you, you know, he would have provided tools. He actually did kind of know what he was talking about. So
yeah, but wait a second. Okay, go ahead. You go ahead, but I'm
going
like, to come back to him.
You're like, this guy totally fucked up my whole thing.
Yeah.
No, but basically, I started coming in. The next week, I came in with my tune with, like, lyrics that I had written specifically to impress him.
Yeah.
So then that became my thing, was, like, I was, like, actively trying to write what I thought at the time were good lyrics.
Right, yeah.
And so that I went down that path. And then after years of, like, caring about every lyric, that became my practice.
Yeah. I think it's great. Believe me, I lean toward that.
I'm not saying I don't have some bum lyrics here and there, because I definitely
do. I lean toward making sense in songs, but I also feel like that might be my handicap, too, in some way.
There's a purity that I, at some point, mourned. I don't care about it now. I don't think about it too much, because I feel like I've forgotten a lot of what I learned in college, so now I feel a little bit more pure.
Yeah, and you're getting high more, right?
Definitely. Yeah.
I don't want to call you out.
It's pretty constant since then.
Okay, good.
I guess I can't send this link to my parents now.
Yeah.
But
I smoked pot in front of my mom 2 years ago, and she got really mad, and I'm like 50. I was 50 awesome. Back then. She got mad at me. So you never grow up.
I don't know what I'm saying. Never mind. I was going
to say. Growing up means being allowed to do drugs in front of your parents, for sure.
Yeah, well.
You're an adult now.
I was going to say, there is a purity to, like, saying whatever,
yeah,
and like blah, there it is. But I honestly,
and
I don't
kind of dreaming, you know, in some way.
I don't have that thing. See, this is the thing that I'm still like, I'm older than I look, I think. But I don't have that thing that people are just like born with this cool or like this like.
I don't think you're older than you look. Let me guess how old you are. 4 years old.
You're right.
See. Yeah, you look perfect.
I had to work really hard, because I told you I grew up in like jazz and musical theater and like I had to like fight my way out from under a mountain to like find some degree of like cool. I'm not even saying I'm cool. I'm just saying like I wasn't like, you know, Lou Reed or these people we talk about. They were like cool at age 17. You know, I was not cool even at 25. I was an idiot. Like, I was like, everyone would say that.
Well,
about
look,
them.
Let's not get carried away. How cool was Lou Reed? He's kind of a jerk. I like Lou Reed. But, you know, he's like, you know, I always say that about Fonzie. I don't know if you're that old, but like from Happy Days, that guy was the least cool guy on television.
It's true. He's not very cool, but he was like,
he's so mad if his hair was not combed. And that's not cool.
Translate, right?
She made air quotes, just
air quotes,
a note for the listeners out there.
Yeah. So, you know, Lou Reed was a dork, you know, and that's why he had like a chip on his shoulder.
Okay.
That's my take. I'm a huge Lou Reed fan, you know.
I mean, I guess all of our favorites were dorks. That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe that's cool.
Right. But I guess what I'm saying is my like where I came out of it, where I like came out of the gates was like real. It's like grim. It's bad. It was like this blues riffy, like weird, like New York suburbs. We'll call it Bridge and Tunnel is the colloquial.
Like, where did you, what, Long Island?
I grew up in Long Island, yeah.
And I wouldn't have
guessed
that.
It's like an art vacuum.
Yeah. I only
it just stops in Brooklyn, and then there's
you know that most of our listeners are in Long Island.
I only guessed it because you said Bridge and Tunnel, and you said New York suburbs, and I'm like, that's the only Brooklyn. I feel like it's cool, but Long Island, wow. But I wouldn't have guessed it.
No, I mean.
But I think the best songwriters.
I'm sure there's cool artists. Lou Reed's from Long Island, actually.
Yeah. Most of the good artists come from shitty, boring suburbs.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm not saying. I just mean personally, my experience was like. Yeah. It wasn't like school squelched some pure cool rock and roll thing in me. It was like, no, I had to.
Right.
I had to really seek. I'm like still trying to find it.
Well, yeah, I mean, but that makes you a good artist, you know. Once you're content with what you're doing, aren't you dead? You know?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Never be content. You're not good. I'll just
totally
put that in your head.
Just keep that mantra going. Yeah.
Lazy Jane.
Nobody likes you.
You're a real lazy
you're
Jane.
You're a real lazy Jane.
Yeah. Sit in your Long Island apartment.
Bridge and tunnel.
Yeah.
Nothing.
You take when you come into Manhattan, you take a bridge and a tunnel.
Oh, from your house. Yeah.
Did you grow up in a musical family?
Yeah, my father's a musician.
Good question, because, yeah, and then he wrote music?
No, actually, he never really wrote his own music, but he had a cover band, a 60s, 70s cover band.
Really?
Yeah, so I grew up with that.
The opposite of writing music.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Which is sort of this hilarious, like, we had a conversation even 2 days ago about, like, he's still, like, you know, you can make a lot more money playing covers. I'm like, girl. Yeah. I'm like, thanks, Dad. I know. I just like.
Do you think you could do that? I mean, not.
No, I couldn't.
Yeah.
I don't
think I could physically. Well, I'm not a good musician, so I would never be able to do that. But, like, even if I was, I don't think I'd be able to play it. It would just drive me crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I was a wedding singer. That was my, like, college job.
Oh, so you did play covers and stuff.
Yeah.
Do you think that helps with writing, like, learning someone else's structure?
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. So I was pretty, like, so familiar with song forms from learning all these songs. By the time I was writing my own, it was like, okay, it was based on.
And what were you covering? I mean, your basic wedding songs,
well,
I guess.
Yeah. I mean, from, there's all, like, the jazz standards was one world of it, of all the classic jazz songs that are sung. And then there's, like, Beatles songs, Creedence Clearwater Revival, Beach Boys, Rolling Stones,
and so you had a whole band
even to like Bee Gees. I mean, it's a wedding, so we're doing like I Will Survive. I did I Will Survive countless times. And
are you the
songs.
Lead singer of this band?
I was.
And you're playing
point.
Guitar?
I was in a couple different wedding bands. Yeah. There was one where there were two. Everyone was lead singer, so everyone shakes depending on the tune, you know, who makes sense. But there was one where I was with another female lead singer, and she did all, like, the powerhouse. She was, like, the belter.
Yeah.
And then I did, the Cyndi Lauper.
Right.
And, like, Gwen Stefani stuff.
Yeah. That makes sense.
This is my dark past, yeah. I did it.
No, but I guess it helped.
That's a good gig.
It's cool. It was all great. It's all experience, you know.
Yeah.
And it was a good, like, job for that time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, I think, you know, it'd be cool if you ever did a wedding and you said you were going to do covers and you just did all your originals.
Bum them out.
What? You know, I just, I say this on every Sing-Songers because I'm obsessed with myself, but I just wrote a Christmas album, and it was fun to take a genre, you know, and play with it. Yeah. A little bit. And I mean, they're not happy Christmas songs by any stretch of the imagination, but it would be interesting to write a wedding album.
Specifically for weddings.
Yeah, but a dark one, like about like how it's not going to work out and you're probably going to get a divorce. And
it would be interesting.
Isn't that just the love song?
A divorce record, yeah.
Right, but you could, you know, I mean, with the knowledge that it's going to be played. you know,
to a couple on their day.
Yeah. So you can couch it in, you know, this is your big moment. And I don't know.
The speech you give at a wedding, like as the best man.
I guess it would be about like creating a genre first, a wedding genre.
Right. They'll create. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
That's your next project, Dino.
Yeah. Or a divorce genre.
Yeah.
I'm all for divorce. You know, Bergman, when he released Scenes from a Marriage as a TV show, I think it ended up being 6 hours in Sweden, and the divorce rate went up like 90%.
No.
And he was so proud of that. He's like, yeah, people stay together and they don't know why and they make their lives miserable.
Freed everybody up.
Divorce is an amazing thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to write a divorce album, I think.
Liberation.
That's my next album after the Christmas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You want to write it with me?
Yeah, sure.
We could get married first and then get divorced so we could just like really.
Sounds expensive.
Oh, you're going to sue me or I'm going to sue you? Who's richer?
Get a prenup.
It's not me.
It's not that expensive to get divorced if everyone's cool with it.
Okay. I didn't know that.
It's my weird way of hitting on people. You want to get married and divorced and write an album?
The second time I've been proposed.
That way? So have you ever written in a genre? Like, I mean, jazz is a style, but like a real genre.
It was a punk song I've been working on. I just keep calling it punk song.
Yeah. The song is called Punk Song?
Yeah.
And
it might actually end up with a different name, but that's what it is. It's a punk song. So I'm trying to punk
what,
song.
What distinguishes it as a punk song?
It just kind of got written and it is a punk song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You want to play it?
You're looking at your guitar.
I mean, it's
we
not.
Love it. We love it when you do this.
Every time you look at your guitar.
Right. It's not finished.
We don't want to push you.
It also might be another song. So if it is, this will be helpful for someone to be like, yeah, that's this song by these guys. I'd be like, oh, okay, cool.
Okay, we'll tell you.
If you want my love, you can have it. If you want my car, it's yours. I don't need the aggravation. I just can't run that anymore. I don't want your salty leather. I don't need your dance. I mean, I don't want your girlfriend. You just stand here next to me. Can it be what you want?
Cool.
Cool. What was that lyric? I'm sorry. I'm just being your
teacher from college. Yeah. No, it's not done. So I mumble when it's not done.
But that song made me realize punk. There's a very thin line between punk and Buddhism, because it's like apathy and Zen is almost the same.
Oh, it's a fine
thing.
Line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't care what you do. I'm just giving up all control.
There is a fine line between apathy and Zen.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's nothing matters or it's nothing matters.
Yeah, it's just,
it's a question of what that means to you.
Right.
It's a question of your face. Are you smiling or sneering when you say
it? It is. It's your attitude toward that information.
Yeah, a Zen punk album. Because you don't usually connect those two.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm thinking in albums now.
I like it. I might just do a tune.
You what?
I thought I might just do the one tune.
Yeah. I'm not. Yeah, don't listen to me.
No, I mean that'd be really cool to do a Zen punk album. It's like a meditation record, but it's just punk music.
Yeah. So that's. Have you ever tried writing it like a Christmas song or anything?
Yeah. I have some Christmas songs.
You do?
Yeah.
Are they happy, sad, bittersweet?
I have three that are happy.
Mm-hmm.
I recorded intentionally a really sad version of I'll Be Home for Christmas for a TV show and they didn't use it, but I thought it was one of my best works.
Well, I mean, that's a sad song.
The last line is
heartbreaking.
Also, there's all these verses that don't get heard.
Oh,
like,
really?
When I looked it up to learn it, to do it,
yeah.
I was like, there's always like way darker, sadder verses. Yeah.
Isn't that the end, the very end is only in my dreams, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I'll be home for Christmas if only in my dreams.
What are some of the other lyrics to that?
I can't remember now, yeah. But I just remember
Have
that.
Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas was originally like way darker. And they made the songwriter, whoever wrote it, had to rewrite it for the movie. Judy Garland sings it.
Oh.
Because it was just too sad. And she's singing it to a child.
Oh, my God. I want to know those
lyrics. So, like,
lyrics.
You know, the,
are
the
they
old
out there? Lyric.
Yeah, it goes, have yourself a merry little Christmas. It may be your last.
Oh.
Next
nice.
Year, we may all be living in the past. Like, it gets it's dark. And she's singing it to a child.
Who only has a future.
Right. It's about everybody going away from each other and not knowing like what's gonna happen.
Wow.
But yeah, you should look it up because yeah, it was just way too dark. They thought that it was too depressing, so they changed it. And,
yeah, because I'm looking for a name for my Christmas album. You know, the tentative title is "Shivers in the Cold," which is from "Do You Hear What I Hear?"
Mm.
A child shivers in the cold. Let us bring him silver and gold.
Wow, I do really like Christmas music.
You do or you don't?
I do, actually.
I do, too.
I love Christmas music.
Yeah. I do, too. But I like the idea that it's kind of a like a, you know, a melancholy Christmas song with all these.
Totally.
You know, jingle bells going on.
I mean, obviously, I don't like indiscriminately Christmas music, but well done in Christmas music.
Right.
I mean, as a thing that people have put a lot of energy toward, it's like, of course, it's
yes.
going to be great stuff.
Yeah, yeah. But like you could tell, and I've shit on this song a lot on this podcast, and it's been shit on a lot in the past, but... You know, Paul McCartney's goddamn shitty Christmas song. You know that one?
Oh, that one?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's the worst.
Yeah. But what's amazing, though, is John Lennon's.
That's the best one. And I feel like McCartney.
War is over, if you want it.
I feel McCartney wrote
they
his.
Snuck that in? That's cool.
I yeah, no.
It's plays in the supermarkets, and you're like, this
yeah.
is so radical.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying, I feel like McCartney wrote his song in response to Lennon going, yeah, fuck you. You know, you don't have to make a statement. You can just be, you know.
Jolly.
Yeah, banal or whatever, you know, not, yeah. you know. And then I think he made more money.
Yeah, that song's annoying.
It's the
yeah.
worst.
And it's just so, God, it's over and over and over and over and over again.
Yeah,
I mean,
but
I
yeah,
do,
but Lennon's is
McCartney,
the best.
But...
They must play that in Guantanamo at Christmas time. That'd be the one I'd play.
While you're being waterboarded.
So grim.
Over
but
and
my
over
favorite Christmas song beyond a shadow of a doubt is Fairy Tale of New York, The Pogues.
I don't know it. Do I know it? I don't know it.
I don't think I know it either.
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy. You want to plug in your phone and play it?
Yeah. There's a great lyric because he sings it with a woman. I forget her name. But he sings, I could have been someone. And she says, well, so could anyone. And
oh,
it's
I've
just
heard,
about
yeah,
these
I remember
drunks.
That lyric. I think I have heard this.
It starts out, it's Christmas Eve in the drunk tank.
Yeah.
An old man said to me,
yeah.
won't see another one. And then it goes from there.
Cool. I'll
it's check just it out. About promising your lover a great Christmas in New York and just being a loser and a drunk.
I like it. I'll
it's
check
it's
it
a beautiful song. It really is. There's a whole documentary on the writing and recording of that song, which I think is just called Fairy Tale of New York.
Is that what inspired you to take on a Christmas record?
I think so. You know, I mean, I've always liked sad Christmas songs, and that one is the king. You
yeah.
know? There's some John Prine songs that are really good. Christmas in Prison.
Oh, he's so good. I just got into him this year. I didn't know about him, which yeah. is wonderful. It's great that there are still things I can get, you know, like
yeah. mm-hmm.
continue to be people I have to explore. But I don't know his Christmas music, so I'll check it out.
So your Christmas song is what?
My own that I yeah. wrote. There's a few.
Oh, you have a few.
Yeah. There's this one that...
Let's talk about it. This is what I'm really interested in.
In my Christmas songs?
Yeah.
There's one that... there's one called Get Down for the Holidays that came out that was basically I was asked to cover a song and then I was sent it. It was like a new song written for a Christmas record. And they're like, can you do this? And it was like for a nice amount of money for a corporation or the whole thing. And I was like, I had no, it was 10 years, a while ago, I was broke. And I was yeah. like, this is a terrible song, but I will rewrite it and send you a better song, what I think is a better song. And yeah. I did, and then they used that, which is great. So that's out. And that, but it was based on their, it was like called like Party Christmas. It's like something about partying Christmas. Ugh. And it was just bad. And I was like, okay, here's a version of that. So I did have
and
parameters.
It's Get Down for Christmas. That's what you
Get Down for the Holidays. It was just whatever came out like that. Yeah. I just did it. I just, you know, and then I needed money.
No.
And then I wrote this other one that I was stoked on that I actually, it's crazy. I think I don't want to talk about it. I messed up. I like signed this weird contract and like signed it away. Like I don't own this song anymore.
Totally. That's depressing.
No. It's totally
do you really
weird.
Like it?
I do like it.
God damn it.
But I could rewrite it. I mean, I own 33% of the publishing, which is ridiculous. Signed a contract in French that I shouldn't have signed. It's a long story. Anyway, I don't own it.
In French?
Yeah, it's so dumb. It's so dumb. This is a whole thing. It's ridiculous.
That's something I would do. It's not dumb.
Talking
it's just,
about
you don't
it is
care.
Kind of lethargic on the radio.
Yeah.
Like, this happened to me. I got hoodwinked.
Yeah.
And then I wrote this other song that people think is a Christmas song. I basically wanted to make a radio song, an Earth Day song,
yeah.
and disguise it as a Christmas song so people could digest it.
Yeah.
Do you want me to play that?
Yes.
The song
Sorry,
is about
I'm not
the planet.
Yelling at you.
And it's disguised as a Christmas song.
That's great.
And I really hope it could one day just sell some paper towels or something. And I guess that would be bad for the earth, but.
Well, not,
you know,
if they're brown paper towels.
I just want to sneak it in there somewhere. Yeah. Okay, so.
This time of year, I get my favorite things. Oh,
that's right. I plied her with whiskey. So,
well, I also haven't played this in a really long time, so I realized the lyrics.
Just
are not...
blame the whiskey. I always do. I always blame the alcohol.
Okay.
This time of year, I get my favorite things. I've chosen them all pretty dearly. I put them together and on it for free. The land and the deep blue sea on my H-O-L-I-D-A-Y, well, oh, well, oh, me, oh, my, y'all come over. I found God, she's in the Arctic Circle, checking on a submarine. The sky is falling, there's a fire on the table. And how it speaks to me on the H-O-L-I-D-A-Y, H-O-L-I-D-A-Y, well, oh, well, oh, me, oh, my, y'all come over. Holiday to DIY. Well, oh, well, to DIY. Well, oh, well, I got company to try. Y'all come over. Y'all come celebrate it. Are you waiting in the ending of our time? Come to believe it. Are you?
I don't want to panic you, but you know you misspelled holiday, and that's a...
H-O-L-I-D-A-Y. What do you mean?
No, I just like to say that when people spell out in a song. I like to scare them for a second.
That's funny. Yeah, it's my only spelling song.
I always wanted to sing karaoke version of Divorce and spell it wrong every time.
Yeah, that's cool.
My friend actually wrote a song called Logie and spelled it wrong because he spells it in the song. And I can't remember. I think you spell it L-O-G-Y, and he spelled it L-O-G-I, or maybe vice versa. But he recorded it, and it was out on his album, and he spelled it wrong the whole time.
What's Logie?
To be like, you know, like to eat, when you eat too much and you just feel like weighed down, Logie.
Is that adjective?
Yeah.
I feel Logie?
Yeah, I feel Logie. Yeah, he spelled it wrong. in the song, my friend Tom Bo. He loves it when I mention him on this podcast.
Cool. Hey, Tom Bo.
He's a good songwriter.
Cool.
But he gave up for now. I'm going to get him back into singing again. That's what I want to do with this podcast, get people. You know, people. So one guy sent me a song, his first song, because he was inspired by this podcast. So you might be inspiring people out there.
I hope so.
Yeah, you need people out there working and, you know, and writing songs and usurping your talent. And no, I don't know. I don't know what I'm talking about. I had a lot to drink.
To usurp.
No, you're great.
I'm just out here floating. trying to make rent.
Yeah. That was a good one. A Christmas song.
Oh, thanks.
And I know it's about Earth Day. Yeah.
I mean, which is every day. But
yeah. Every day's a holiday for Earth.
Yeah. All the days, all the ones we have left, you know?
I know. Someone said the other day something like, this is the first Friday of the month of the whatever it was, like the 12th month. It wasn't the 12th month, but they said it the other day, whatever that was. I'm bad with numbers. 7th month. And I said, yeah, of the last year. Scary, huh?
Mm-hmm. There'll be another one.
There'll be more. I'm a Nusser dumbass.
Well, no, whatever. Yeah, I just...
What's the matter?
I just got upset at the president. It's okay.
Because of the president?
Well, I mean, yeah, not just him, but everybody else, you know.
No, it's fucking insane now, right?
It's insane.
Yeah.
I do feel a little bit uplifted by the fact that we're all
coming
in
together.
This together, and there's such a front.
Yeah, there is.
On, you know, opposition and worldwide, and it's just so, like, I feel like, well, two things. One, like, for the first time, like, I remember going to another country while George Bush was president and being, like, so embarrassed and just so, yeah, like, weird, and having to apologize and being like, listen, I swear, like, half the country is not, or, like, more than half or whatever.
And by the way, this is the worst it's going to get.
Yeah. I mean, we hope.
No, it wasn't.
He'll be gone.
Oh, you mean then?
Yeah.
I lived in England when he was president and during 9/11 and when we started the war, and watched everybody go from having a lot of sympathy for us to hating us. Yeah. And never being able to hear the end of it the moment someone heard my accent in a pub.
Well, right.
It was a constant. I was like, do I have to be the ambassador to my entire country and argue in defense of my country despite our president on a constant basis now? Like, because it was everywhere. It was all the time. It is weird to be there and see the United States through Europe's eyes.
Right. Well, that was, 100%. That was my experience then, but now it feels more like they know. Like, there's happened to them too.
Yeah.
So if everyone's more like aware, they're like, they see it. That's what feels a little bit better. It's like, I hope. I mean, there's people.
Yeah, they see it more like this thing happened to us.
Right. Like, it's clearly like
a
struggle that's happening, and everyone can see it because of the internet and the way it is. It's like, you can see everything that's happening, mm-hmm, rather than before it was more just like, are Americans all fucking, you know, no. God, no. It's just the people that don't.
And when did you write that song? Was it after?
That one?
Yeah, Trump or?
Before,
Before. Like, but after Bush and.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, or I finished that like last year sometime.
Yeah. Are you inspired politically? I'm just trying to gear it back to the songwriter.
Yeah, I mean, inspired.
To write. Like,
inspired as a.
A songwriter?
Sounds like a nice word, but I feel a sense of duty, and I also feel compelled because it's what I'm thinking and feeling, and that's what gets put into song. It's like, why would I seek something else?
Yeah,
that's what I'm thinking about, you know, so that's what goes in.
There's one song I wrote in my Christmas album that's kind of a subtle protest song in some way.
It's a bummer because I feel resentful in like a teenager way.
Yeah.
I feel resentful that I have to write songs about this.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, I wanted to go on my cruise along on my way, writing songs about heartache and whatever else in the small human experience.
Yeah, but anything that makes you want to write a song is going to, I mean,
right, but then you write one,
yeah,
finish it, then what? Then you write another one, you keep just writing. I don't want to write a whole political record. I will. I'll write whatever I have to. I already finished this one, so this one's done. But moving forward, it's like, we'll
but that
see.
Didn't sound political. It's subtle and beautiful, and but it still gets the point across, you know?
Thanks.
So yeah. It's not like you gotta proselytize, you know, with your music, and I don't think you do. I think you're smart enough to know that you could do it in a creative way. I'm trying to help you.
I think I understand what you're saying, though. Like, to have the political climate then start dominating your creative output just because it's so overwhelmingly what's on your mind all the time,
yeah,
where you were on this other path before.
Right.
And it's been interrupted now.
By something important.
By something important.
Of course, that's why I say it's like a teenager, teenage resentment, because yeah, it's sort of like, no, I didn't want it. But like, obviously, as
an like
adult,
against your will, this is now.
Like, this is what's happening.
It is.
It's like, you know, no one. And of course, what's happening in my world of like my experience with this like vague beginning of fascism and whatever is like nothing compared to what, you know, other people are dealing with in other places of the world that have been.
Right, because at least we have some focus on it. You know, other countries don't even have that kind of focus. Well, it's just, it's under the radar.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, at least there are people in our government who are representing the opposition interest, which in other places you don't have that other side fighting against what's happening.
Well, I mean, come on. What? How many heartbreak songs are you gonna write, really?
Yeah, no, I'm done with that.
Silver lining.
Agreed. No, I.
All right. What are some other areas, actually?
I came with that as well. I'm like, all right, I'm all tapped out with that. Other areas, other things to write about.
Yeah, well, that you enjoy or that you've been writing about lately, not even enjoy, but.
Well, I mean, on this new record, that's. Coming out Friday.
All right. What's the name of the record?
It's called Peace and Information.
And where can you get it?
You'll be able to on Friday, August 4th. You'll be able to buy it on internet, all of those places that it will be, iTunes and everywhere else. And it's all available in tangible form. The vinyl record and the CD are available on my website, jennyo.com.
Jenny O. I'm here with Jenny O. I'm doing a promo right now. I'm doing it right in the middle. Hi, Jenny. We're having a great time. And listen to Sing Songers with Jenny O, because we're talking about politics and Christmas, and I'm making her sing songs that she doesn't want to, and I'm paying her $20. She might not play. Tune in and find out.
I
did the promo.
Thanks.
He always bugs me about the promo.
Or you can get records at my shows. So.
Oh, yeah. Too. And when's your next show?
Well, my next LA show is on the 16th of September, but there's a whole tour. It's part of a month-long U.S. tour starting September 8th to October 8th. It's not the whole U.S. It's the U.S. except for the Midwest. I mean, sorry. It's the U.S. except for the East Coast. So it's the middle and the West Coast.
Why not the East Coast?
Because I don't know. It didn't get booked. It's my agent. I don't know. So,
get a new agent. I mean, I like the East Coast.
I sent some emails. I did. I don't know. I'll go there. I'll be there. It just then it becomes winter, and I'm like, should I really go to the East Coast in the winter, or should I wait till
the
spring?
Oh, it's great. You go from bar to bar. It's fun. They have a lot of bars on the East
Coast. We'll see. I'm working on it. I'm trying to get everywhere.
I know. You could drink. I've seen you. Okay. So wait, on your last album, so what are the other topics that you're drawn to?
Well, there's a lot of. There are a few love songs, rejection songs, and power songs about personal power and power between dynamics between individuals that creates power dynamics.
Yeah.
It's not always love as much as it is just these like weird and intricate like the unseen information that transfers between us. That's something I spent a lot of time with over the past year. And there's a song about, it's called Seashells. It's about the environment, but it's like a song about plastic utensils in the ocean. So that's another thing I'm like, I'm resentful about. That's what I'm writing about.
Do you live by the ocean?
I don't live by the ocean. I mean,
you just like the ocean.
In terms of, I live 10 miles from the ocean in Los Angeles, we all do. But that's an hour.
Yeah.
For anyone listening that doesn't get that. Yes, I do live by the ocean in theory, but.
We all love the ocean. We come from the ocean.
I go there once. Well, that's in the song, yeah.
Yeah. Oh. So that's good. So you
you write about aquatic ape theory?
Well, I say, I hear it's blues, so it's a very simple song. It's some environmental blues. But yeah. I say, I hear it's where we came from, and they say that it's the end. I'm going back again. Like, I'm going swimming.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. And then yeah, and then you run into a bunch of little forks and sporks and stuff.
Basically.
Yeah.
I'll let people find that song.
Sounds like a good song.
I sang about sporks. And, yeah, it's a single. Just kidding, it's not. It's buried deep. It's like track 10 or something.
I'm sure it's a great song. I'm just trying to joke around a little.
Appreciate it.
any other topics you're drawn to?
Lust and seduction is a passion of mine.
You find that you like lust after a
while?
Well,
I came from a very, like, sort of, I mean, who, you know, a lot of people did, but sort of this Puritan world of, like, proper.
Right.
Properness. And then found out later that actually seduction and is really intriguing to me.
Yeah. It kind of, it opens your nasal passages.
Yeah. So there's maybe some of that too. Yeah.
Do you get that when is this just me? Like when something primal happens, everything opens up and I smell better and I hear better. And is that just because I'm
just
low?
When
on,
your sinuses open,
maybe. Yeah, maybe I'm low on the evolutionary scale.
You were dehydrated before.
Yeah, I guess I got sinus problems. What?
I have not observed that, but yeah. I'll pay attention.
No.
Sometimes when I'm stuffed up, I try and think of like getting chased by a lion and then it opens up and
wow.
I'm insane. So are you going to sing the $20 song?
You want to try? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh god. I mean, you don't have to pay me. I'll try this.
I want to pay you.
Great. Well, only if I get far enough to.
So this is your first song.
This is the first song I finished, but be it known, I did not pray. I haven't.
I know. We all know. This. Everyone's
yeah.
listened.
Okay, so. I might not be able to play it on the guitar, but it's so high. I can already tell. Didn't you ever hear a love song and know it was for you? Did you ever hear?
Hey, oh, man. It's already better than any song I've written, so fuck you.
Thinking of you. Have you ever heard the runner and let me run? And there's another verse, and then it goes. Angel. I don't know, actually.
Nah, it's still worth $20. Here, let it be known. Here, I'm handing over.
I don't know if that. She skipped over verses.
I know, but I feel like. I feel like it was painful for her. She could
take right. Well, okay. Yeah. Fair enough. Take the $20.
Let it be known that you took the 20.
And you can help yourself to some snacks in the other room and stuff too.
Yeah, yeah. Like snacks on top of the 20. You won't have to pay for the
drink snack. As much as you need to help you feel better after that one.
I mean, I'll give this back to you.
No,
I did also keep you a vinyl record, so that's for 20.
Yeah.
Hey, you bought.
Yeah.
A record.
How much does the record go for?
$20.
There you go.
See, you know how much mine goes for? $40.
Wow, dude. What is it? Like one of those 180 grams?
I don't know. No, my
double record.
My drummer paid to make it, and he did original artwork for every single one. We made 500, so original artwork.
Wow.
And also now, because I found out it was 40, I'm going to write everyone at least a 30-second song for buying
it. So much
work.
I know.
We've already sold like 35 of these, by the way.
That's wild.
That's nothing.
Cool.
Yeah, but
and, but I'm going to write them on this show. I'm going to write them live on the show.
When you think about having to write an individual thing for every single one of them.
I'm going to do it. And I'm going to do it on this show.
I did a Kickstarter for this record, and I had to write a note. I wrote a note to everybody.
Yeah.
A little personal.
Well, I, and if I like the song, I'm just going to make it into a real song. And maybe, I was talking to someone, I forget who, but I should give them credit for this idea. If I get enough good songs, I'll just have a whole album of songs about people who bought this album.
Yeah.
That might be
and
cool,
And then we
right?
can sell it
I
again.
I like theme albums. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like theme albums.
That's cool.
What do you think?
Am I like it.
I'm just nuts, right?
No, I like concept records too, theme records.
Yeah. Do you want me to move that chair closer so you can
No,
I'm going to kick up.
It felt a little too lazy, a little too relaxed.
Lazy Jane.
Lazy Jane.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think we've done well, and I got a lot out of you, a lot of information.
Have we been going for 66 minutes?
Yeah. Yeah. These things usually last in about an hour. Is there any anything I didn't ask that you wanted me to ask
that
you?
That I need to talk about?
Yeah.
No.
Do you need to get anything out?
No.
This is like therapy.
Yeah, it is.
You have a message to anybody out there?
yeah, there's this guy in junior high named Jay Janowski.
Uh-huh. He was a dick to you?
No.
You liked him?
We never interacted, probably ever.
It was a missed opportunity?
Yeah, I mean, he was one of... you know, 150 guys in my class of like 160 that I had a crush on. I had a crush on every, if I went to high school with you, I had a crush on you, FYI. I just didn't tell anybody.
What was so good about him?
Oh, nothing. He was just nice. He was just a boy. He was a boy.
Was he nice to you?
No, I never interacted with him once for 12 years. However, in junior high, there was this other guy, Paul McAvoy, who was in my band at one point. He was my guitar player mm-hmm. in like ninth grade. And he one time was like, I said something about Jay Janowski and was like, you crush on him. And I was like, no, I don't. His face is like, ugh, or something. Like, I was just, like, denying it because that's, like, at all costs, deny. Like, don't let anybody know you have a crush on anybody.
Yeah.
It's definitely a way to get a no boyfriend in high school. And then he told him. And he, like, came back to me and was like, I told Jay, he said that.
What's wrong with my face?
And he said that your face is, ugh. And I was like,
aw.
Oh, man. And I think about it all the time.
Yeah.
I'm like, I wish I could tell Jay, like, I actually had a really big crush on you.
Yeah.
So I thought that I could get that off my
head. Oh, I wonder if Jay might be a fan of yours.
Maybe. Who knows what became
or
of
a fan yet. Of mine.
Yeah. He's actually a hardcore Gino fan. Who knows what became of that man?
Wow.
I wish him well. We never spoke. I don't know him. I just, it was always stuck with me because I was like, no, this person thinks.
Has he sneaked
you know,
into,
and you're, when you're 12 or 13, like those things, like.
Yeah, they stick. He who knows most certainly remembers that because anybody coming over to you when you're that vulnerable, like in puberty as a kid, and telling you that some girl
it horrifies me
thinks you ugly, you're gonna remember that.
Do you think he sneaked into any of your songs?
No.
All right. Well, we'll cut this part out. Jenny, oh, thank you for coming. You were great.
Thanks for having me.
You really did it.
Thanks.
I mean, three songs, and I learned a lot. It's all about me learning, you know?
Yeah. Three songs. Did I play three? I played one that I can't believe I played. Just that. I played that just now.
It's you cool. played it. You got $20 for it. That's consider it played.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming. Bye.
Bye.